Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Every sin of mankind, every sin was placed upon Jesus Christ. You know, we won't begin naming, but the most horrible sin mentioned in Scripture, it was placed upon Jesus Christ. Why? Why was that? So that that sin could be forgiven. You know, you could be forgiven of any sin except one sin. Any sin except for one. You know what that sin is? The Bible speaks of it. The sin of unbelief. So that's, we're talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Literally, the Holy Spirit's drawing you and you're saying, no, 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 blasphemy. Rejection of Jesus Christ is the only sin that's the unpardonable sin, so to speak. Every other sin, I had a great conversation with somebody a couple years ago. I told you about this, and I had to be careful how to say this. I don't want to chase this rabbit. But he wanted to meet with me. He's from another church. And he wanted to meet with me because I'd said something, you know, this goes out over the radio and all a couple years ago. I said something about, in 1 Corinthians, that God can save anybody. God can save anybody. And I mentioned even homosexuals, sodomites. God could save them. Well, he took offense to that. He didn't believe that God, that they were an understanding. Try, he took me to Romans chapter 1, that they, the word he used was they were reprobates. Okay, and that's a good word. He used it. So I met with him in Lake Wells at a Wendy's. Never forget it. And I bought his lunch. And we got there, we talked about an hour, just sit there and talk. We let him talk. I just let him talk. Because he heard what I said, I just let him talk. And then finally I said, brother, I forget his name now because he's not a member of his church. I said, brother, I took him to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I think it was 6. Where it says, as were some of you. You know what it said before, as were some of you? About these people who can't inherit the effeminate. You know, and one of them includes homosexuality. And the Bible says, as were some of you, speaking that some of them used to be that way. But now, by God's grace, they're saved. You know what he did? He closed his Bible. He said, preacher, we have nothing else to say. I said, bro, I'm just showing you Scripture. You know, you can't argue. I'm not arguing with you. Just what Scripture says. It's a terrible thing. But I mentioned that in Isaiah 53, every sin that was ever committed was placed upon Jesus Christ. God's wrath was poured out upon him. Every sin. I don't care. You may not believe that, but that's what the Bible teaches us. Let's begin in verse number. I have a note here. Isaiah 53 is the holy of holies in the Old Testament. You know, the Jewish people they get up to Isaiah 52 and they don't like Isaiah 53. Anyway, let's begin in verse number 3. He, speaking of Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our face, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And did you see? Smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our sins, every sin. And with his stripes, we are healed. This isn't talking about a physical healing. People use this as a physical healing. No, spiritually, because of what he did. We are healed. We are saved. We are rested. Anyway, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every moral perversion, everything you can think of, God laid those sins upon him. God laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressors of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. There's so much I could say here. By the way, it's heresy to say that Jesus went to hell. That's heresy. You know what I'm talking about? People actually talk about hell with the unbelievers. There's a lot of good men said Jesus went down into hell, and no, he did not go into. Can I give you 2 minutes of a Bible lesson? Talks about his. Before Jesus was raised from the dead, before he was crucified, I should say, before he was crucified, there's two compartments in the underworld. Compartments of the saved and the unsaved. I'm going to keep it very simple. Remember the story about Lazarus and the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus died and the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell and he looked across and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here. Just dip his finger. And remember the story? There was two compartments. At the time of Jesus' death, we see this in Ephesians, some other places. He told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When Jesus died, he led captivity captive, and they ascended upon high. Literally, he emptied the underworld of the believers, and now they're in the presence of heaven in God. Are you following? They're in the presence of God in heaven. But before his death, they were all in the underworld, in the grave. Are y'all following? This is no. Anyway, that's just a sideline. That's another whole story. But don't let anybody tell you Jesus went into hell. It's heresy, preaching to those, you know, when we read in Peter, literally they could see what was taking place as the rich man and Lazarus taking place. They could see what was taking place. And literally they were looking there seeing Jesus. And it's awful saying, I told you so. He didn't say that, but you understand. When he said he preached unto them, it's true. It's true. Anyway, let's move on. Verse number 10. Look at this one. Yet it pleased the Lord, Jehovah God, God Almighty, the Father, to bruise him. The word pleased here means that he takes delight. Temple, I don't understand that. I know what it says. I don't know anybody that could understand this. How God took delight and pleasure in the place in the iniquity and of all the sins of the world upon his own Son. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look at this, and we're going to go back to Revelation. He shall see the travail, the hard labor of his soul. God shall see his Son and shall be satisfied. He'll be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. My, oh, my. What we just read. Why is that so important about in Revelation 14 where God pours out that unmitigated wrath? Because what happened at the cross of Calvary when God's wrath was poured out upon his Son. We just read it. I don't understand it. Since they rejected, Jesus paid that price for us. Since they rejected that price, they're going to pay it. What he poured on Jesus Christ, it's going to be. Again, don't think I'm a heretic. Jesus' wrath upon Christ, we read in Isaiah, was unmitigated. He didn't hold it back because the sin of mankind was placed upon him. Again, I don't understand it. I just know what the Bible says. And because of that, in Revelation 14, God said, you rejected my Son and I'm pouring it all out on you. Are you following the thought? Revelation 14. Notice this again, verse number 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. There's no such thing as annihilation. A lot of people think when you're dead like Rover, you're dead all over. I mean, that's the end of you. No. Noel was here last week. He'll probably be here today, maybe, because you know, most of y'all, we have some visitors. Noel is a deacon in our church. He has a wonderful wife named Peggy, and Peggy's homebound now, and he sits with her 24 hours a day. Only time he gets out of the house is when he comes to church, and he may be here this morning. I don't know if she's able to leave Peggy. But anyway, he said last week, he made that statement that we're going to live forever. Y'all might not. I remember him praying that we're going to live forever somewhere. Do you know we're going to live forever somewhere? Believers are going to live forever with the Lord. Unbelievers are going to live forever in the regions of the doomed and the damned. The Bible says forever and forever, their torment. God would not allow them forever and ever, their torment.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.